Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, verses 8 to 17. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Let us listen to the word of God. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Let us listen for the word of the God. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Wander out here. That's all right. I have a question for you this morning that I would like you to ask yourself. What is it that would get you to believe that you are blessed? When you think of being blessed, what pops into your head? I would be really blessed if... In high school, I will tell you, for me, there was a very clear answer to this. I love the game of basketball. For whatever reason, it's something that I just thoroughly enjoy playing. And from about the time I was in sixth grade on, watching Magic Johnson and the Showtime Lakers, I knew what I wanted to dedicate my life to was being the greatest NBA player since Magic Johnson, right? I spent thousands of hours practicing passing, dribbling, shooting, layups. I also looked in the mirror and realized I'm white, and that's not terribly helpful. And I also realized I'm 5'11 and 3/4, not 6'6, and that's not terribly helpful either. But it didn't stop me from, especially in high school where it's still possible, I tried out for the team, I made it, I was an okay basketball player, I was not great, but man, those nights where it went really well, I felt awesome. I felt blessed. I felt good about who I was and what I was doing. Of course, that's not every night, is it? Because there were also games where we went out and the player I was guarding was so much better than me that they could just waltz right on by. Or tall enough that they could just turn around and dunk it in your face. Or those games where your body just isn't doing quite what you want it to and you turn the ball over. Or you don't box out, or you forget to follow your shot. And those nights I remember going home and feeling awful about myself. Feeling like I wasn't valuable. That I clearly wasn't blessed. To be blessed would be to be the leading scorer, the all-star, to make the team, to win state, right? Winning state is being blessed. I think we carry those ideas with us into our interaction with God. And I think God tries to move us someplace else. This is the first Sunday of Lent, and Lent is this Christian practice of deciding to take the 40 days leading up towards Easter and point ourselves on a journey towards God, right? The gospel reading that we start today is one of the places those 40 days come from, that Jesus is baptized it says he's compelled. It's actually kicked out by the Spirit, is the Greek word ekbalo, thrown out into the wilderness by the Spirit for 40 days. That he has this time of something, of testing, of difficulty, of uncertainty. And we as Christians have said that it's helpful for us to take these 40 days leading up to Lent and to go through something of a similar journey. But I think it's so important to put this story in the context because I think it's a little different than we come in expecting. Especially when we think that being blessed means having everything work out right. This text has some profound echoes from the very beginning. If you'll indulge me, turn if you have your Bibles, back to Genesis chapter 1. You've probably got this memorized. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You remember verse 2? The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And in verse 3, God speaks. God says, "Let there be light." There is light. And God saw the light was good. These first three verses, we have the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. Something coming out of the waters and God speaking life into existence. See the parallels? Jesus comes up out of the water. What is the Spirit doing? Hovering over the waters like a dove, right? And then God speaks. He speaks light. What God says, we skip over this because we're so familiar with it. What does God say when God speaks? You are my child. I love you. I take incredible joy and delight in who you are. I would submit that that is blessing. In fact, it is exactly what we see God doing at the beginning, right? If we go back to Genesis 1, God speaks and he separates the light from the darkness. He separates the land from the waters. He brings forth growing things and plants and animals and birds and then people. And he sees it and he says it's very good. You know what else he does? Let's read it. It's Genesis 1, verse 28. After God says, created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created us. Male and female, he creates us. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The very first interaction with God and human beings is what? He makes them and then? You're blessed. You have my blessing because you are my kids. You are made in my image, and I am giving you all of this. This is the story. This is what we deeply believe is our purpose, why we are here, because God made this, God created us, and God inherently is about blessing us. We are blessed. This is exactly what happens with Jesus, right? Well, back in this story, how long have Adam and Eve been working before God blesses them? Not at all, right? They are made, and therefore they are blessed. They exist. They are God's creation, and therefore they are blessed. How much has Jesus done in his work as Messiah at the point we come across this story? We are conditioned to think that God's approval comes because of what we offer to God. But in this text, this passage where Jesus is baptized and he comes up out of the water, before Jesus has done any of these miracles, before he's healed any of these people, before he's turned water to wine or walked on water, before he's cleansed lepers, before he's brought the dead back to life, God says, "You are my kid. I love you more than you could possibly know, and I delight in you so much." This, it's actually the Old Testament reading from Noah. We don't associate this with that very much, but guess how God is at work in that story? A few verses right before the passage that we read this morning, the Old Testament reading with the flood, after God provides a way for Noah and his family to survive, to protect human life, to make things new and better, they get through the flood. And of course, the flood ends with the first place we see a dove in Scripture, right? A dove coming and showing them that the flood is abating, that life is going to be restored, that there is hope. Then, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth." God shows up, and what does he do? You're blessed. Don't forget that you are blessed. Don't forget who you are, that you are God's child, that you are loved, and that God delights in you inherently and implicitly. We see all of Jesus' 40-day Lenten journey in this one text, right? Like, we see the whole 40 days here in Mark. Jesus came up out of the water. He saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." Jesus starts from a place of blessing. And while Mark doesn't record it, Matthew does. The testing that goes on out in the wilderness, what is the first thing the accuser comes and questions? "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." If you are really blessed, it should manifest itself in powerful prosperity and success. You want to talk about temptation? The temptation is to believe that. The temptation is to question who we are, our identity. Are we actually blessed, even if we don't have enough to eat? If you are the Son of God, if you are the Messiah, the rabbis all believed they were expecting Messiah. And because it said that when Messiah came, he would come with healing in his wings, it was believed that the Messiah would come down from heaven in full view of all during the evening or morning sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. So for Jesus to cast himself off from the top of the temple is for him to come the way everyone is expecting. If you are really the Messiah, you'll look like this. And since you don't look like this, I don't think you're who you say you are. Since your life isn't going according to the script and the expectations of everybody else, you're not blessed. I think God is after a totally different narrative, a totally different, more profound truth for who we are and what it means. Because Jesus is inherently blessed by God before he goes into this Lenten journey. His journey towards God is deeply rooted in who God has already said he is. There's nothing that can change who you are in God. You're his kid. There's no undoing that. There are all sorts of tragedies, trials, sufferings, ways our lives don't go the way we wish they would. But none of that undoes the fact that we are blessed, that we are God's kids. In fact, maybe for us, this is very much what Jesus is about when he says, change your hearts, repent. Change your heart and trust that you are blessed. Change your heart and trust that God is for you, even when the circumstances of your life might be incredibly challenging, difficult, and not what you'd hoped. Change your mind and trust that God is with you and for you, even when things aren't what you wanted. Matthew does the same thing, right? When Jesus starts his teachings with the Beatitudes. And instead of saying you're blessed when you're rich, he says you're blessed when you're poor. Instead of saying you're only blessed when everybody's talking well of you, he says you're blessed when people are talking evil of you. You're blessed even then. You're blessed when things go your way. You know, you're blessed when things don't go your way, when you're persecuted, when you're attacked. You're blessed even then. Jesus turns this whole thing upside down, and I think for us, entering into who God is and having his Spirit fill us with this life means remembering this. Because we accuse ourselves just as much as the accuser ever does. We accuse ourselves of not being enough, of not offering God enough, of not obeying enough, of not getting it right enough, of not knowing enough, of not being patient enough or perfect enough or kind enough or loving enough. And God says, stop. Change your hearts. Reorient yourselves to the fact that you are my kids, because that is the place where you are going to go forth and bless the world from. Until you understand how deeply blessed you are never going to be the blessing God intends you to be to the people around you. There is no amount of basketball points I could score to make me feel enough, right? There's no amount of money in your bank account that's going to do it. There's no titles after your name or bestsellers on the New York Times list that are going to make you feel blessed enough. But that's okay, because you've already been given the thing that will. You have God's favor. You are declared his child. He said he takes great delight in you and who he made you to be, in the intricacies of your personality, the quirks of what makes you you, your history, your story, your struggles, your joys. God delights in those. John says, behold what manner of love the Father has poured out on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. My family, we just welcomed a new little kid. She's a month old today, Gianna Renee. She is this little 9-pound bundle of snurfly noises and waking up in the middle of the night and crying, and we could not love her more. She wakes me up all the time. She makes my wife exhausted and tired. And we love her and delight in her anyway. There's nothing that little girl can do to get us to stop being her parents. There's nothing she can do to make us quit loving her or stop caring for her or stop providing for her. There is no amount of spit up or projectile poop that she can spray while I'm trying to change her diaper, hypothetically, last night. I'm there. She's my kid. I delight in her. This is the reality of our life. This is what Jesus means when he says, repent. Change your hearts from thinking that you are offering something to God and start remembering that God is offering everything to you. As humans, you were made, and God said, this is this world, and it is yours. Help me create it and make it wonderful. That is where we have to start our journey towards God. Our journey towards God isn't these things we sacrifice to get God's approval. We realize God has approved of us, and so we start changing our hearts and pointing them back towards Him. I'm giving up sugar for Lent, and I like it. I'm kind of a sugar fan. And so when I want sugar, I remember instead of, oh man, I can't give up sugar because I promised to God, and if I don't promise to God, He's going to disapprove of me. It's not right. I say, no. When I think I want sugar, and why am I not eating sugar? Because I said I wouldn't eat it for Lent. Oh yeah, I'm blessed. I remember what God has already declared I am. Not because I successfully negotiate 40 days of no sugar for Lent. No. It's just an opportunity for me to stop and remember, I am blessed. I am God's kid. He delights. He takes joy in me. And that's better than chocolate cake. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for declaring us to be blessed. May we take this 40 days leading up to Easter and reorient our hearts towards that blessing. May our identity in you, may your delight and joy and love for us be the things that define our lives and make us who we are, and in turn pour out through us to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You stand with us as we sing hymn number 132.